From Deland de Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of September 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. The statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota will be here with updates of harvest progress in their regions, and we'll hear what that harvest might be worth. Updated income numbers from Gary Schnitke for the state of Illinois and for the Midwest as well. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Oh, and Dan O'Brien will be here from K-State Extension with an update of the agricultural energies on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn a half cent lower today at $3.69 and a quarter on the settlement price. The March at 378 and three quarters down a half, and May futures a quarter lower at 384 and a half. July corn down a half at 388 and a quarter. Next year's December down a half cent at 387 and three quarters of a cent. Soybeans, November contract 2 3/4 lower, 1019 and three quarters the settlement price. January 1024 and a half down three. March beans 10.19, 2 lower. The May down 1.5 at 10.15 and a half. And next year's November beans a nickel lower at $9.59 on the afternoon. The bean oil 60 cents lower. The bean meal up 3.90. Wheat futures for the July soft red up a penny at $5.68. The hard red up 4 1/4 at 5.15 3/4 in the July contract. Live cattle futures for the dime down 22.5. Feeder 62.5 cents higher for the afternoon. And lean hogs were 100 pounds up $2.72 on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana now joins us to take a look at these Tuesday markets. Hey, it's a quiet day. That was better than what Kurt had to deal with yesterday. That was kind of a down day yesterday. How'd things transpire since the close yesterday?
Well, you know, it was nicer than what Kurt had yesterday, that's for sure. We had a down period, we had a back up period, and then we floated around the rest of the day to close basically down just a hair compared to what these markets have been moving, Todd. So, you know, just a lot of the funds continue to be big buyers today. We continue to have China buying announcements, both corn and beans. And we continue to have great harvest weather and a lot of stuff and a lot of combines rolling pretty hard.
Are commercials selling into the funds? Is that who's on the other side for the most part?
Well, you know, I think that there's some commercials they're selling. They have to be here along the way, because when you looked at the fund buying of the day today, somebody was a seller because we ended up down on the day rather than up, and there was a decent amount of fund buying.
What are you hearing about harvest early across the Midwest?
Well, you know, the early beans are doing tremendously good. The little longer season beans are coming back a little bit, but we're seeing some tremendously good numbers coming in out of the beans over here. We're hearing a group in this, you know, mid-60s to low 80s. So, I mean, as far as what we're seeing so far with our customers, been a very good bean harvest. The corn, some of that, not very much has been combined in our area. So, you know, but it seems like it's coming in basically around its average and not a real bonus like the beans are in some cases, Todd. So, you know, we'll just look and see. I think the dry weather hurt the corn a little more than the beans.
Ending stocks number is due to be released next week. Not ending stock. Well, I guess it will be the stocks number, but not the ending stocks number. This is the last one for the year, so I suppose you could call it that, because that's where it'll set once we get to the October figures, or should. What do you see there?
Well, that is the big question, and that's why I think we saw a few people getting a little bit antsy here today, just thinking along the way that they think that there's a possibility that we could see a little greater feed usage, and that number might be a little lower than what it was on the last report, Todd. So that's one of the things that we're looking at. That could also turn around and lower the carryout stocks for next year if that number comes in lower. And, of course, the stocks-to-use ratio going down would definitely help maybe inspire a little more move up in the corn.
What are producers mostly calling to ask at this time?
I think, you know, should I sell some beans now? And we look at the board, and the same thing we said in Commodity Week last week, there's no carry really in the beans for anything like that. And over $10 cash beans are something that we're more of a seller than a buyer, if that's for sure, or a holder or a store. So they're mostly saying, should I go ahead and sell my beans? And we're saying, yes.
Yeah, so should I store or should I sell on the beans? You may as well sell on the corn. What do you think?
Well, I think that depends on what your storage situation is and whether you're paying commercial storage or not. But we're thinking that the corn is probably, if you're going to store one of the two crops, corn does have a carry. You can look out there and make a little money by doing that. But, you know, it's going to be very questionable what happens here if China's, you know, cuts off their buying program. But I think that we're going to see a little tighter stocks than what we had, and it's probably going to pay to do that, because we generally you store a big crop, and it looks like this is going to continue to be a big crop, at least in our area.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 95% of the corn crop around the nation has dented. 90% is the five-year average. 59% of that crop is mature. 49% is the five-year rolling average. Yet only 8% of the crop has been harvested, and that's 2 percentage points behind the five-year average of 10%. The condition of the crop this week: 47% good and 14% excellent. That's up 1 percentage point from the previous week. 59% of the soybeans now dropping leaves. 50% is the five-year average, and 6% of the crop has been harvested. That's right on pace with the five-year average. The condition of the crop: 51% good, 12% excellent. That compares to 50% and 13%, respectively, last week.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending September 20, 2020. Field activities included harvesting corn for silage, fall tillage, moving old crop grain stocks, and harvesting corn for grain and soybeans. Corn was 94% in or beyond dent stage, over 2 weeks ahead of the previous year and 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Two-thirds of the crop has reached maturity, 3 weeks ahead of last year and over a week ahead of average. Corn harvest for grain reached 4% statewide, 17 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. Corn condition rated 42% good to excellent, unchanged from the previous week. Soybeans coloring or beyond advanced to 90%. That is over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of average. Two-thirds of the soybean crop was dropping leaves or beyond, also over 2 weeks ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of average. Soybean harvest was 7% complete, 17 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Farmers in northwest and west central Iowa led the way with over 10% of their soybeans harvested. Soybean condition rated 48% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. There was almost no rain across the entire prairie state last week. Soybeans in Illinois were turning color on 73% of acres, compared to 45% 1 year ago and 73% for the five-year average. 44% of soybean acres were dropping leaves, compared to 43% normally, and farmers have harvested 1% of soybean acres. Soybean conditions were reported as 7% very poor to poor, 22% fair, and 71% good to excellent, nearly unchanged from the previous week. The Illinois corn crop has reached maturity on 53% of acres, compared to 23% last year and 60% normally. 4% of corn acres have been harvested, compared to 11% normally. The corn crop was rated 8% very poor to poor, 19% fair, and 73% good to excellent, also nearly unchanged from the previous week. There were just a few reports that wheat planting has begun. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Cool, dry conditions allowed for the start of soybean harvest and helped advance crop maturity elsewhere. There were 6.2 days suitable for field work. Other field activities included cutting hay and harvesting potatoes, sugar beets, dry beans, and corn for silage. Corn had reached maturity on 63% of acres. That's 23 days ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of the five-year average. There were scattered reports of corn for grain harvesting in southern Minnesota. Corn harvested for silage reached 82% complete. That's 26 days ahead of last year and 13 days ahead of average. Corn condition improved slightly to 77%, good to excellent. Nearly all the soybean acres were turning color at 96%. This is 16 days ahead of last year and 8 days above average. Soybean acres were 71% dropping leaves. That's 13 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. Soybeans were 7% harvested. That's 13 days ahead of last year, but equal to the average harvest pace. Soybean condition dropped to its lowest rating of the year at 76%, good to excellent, compared to last week's 77%. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Gary Schnutke now joins us to discuss his latest Farm Doc Daily article. He's taken another look at income for the current year. That would be for the 2020 crop, or that which is coming out of the field now and over the next couple of months here in the Midwest. Gary, thanks so much. What caused you to take a look again at this?
Yeah, so in the past several months, or past month in particular, we've seen a number of things change, and we've updated our budgets accordingly. The three things that we really looked at hard was yields, and USDA announced we're going to have good yields in Illinois. Prices have increased in the recent month, and we had the second round of CFAP announced. All those things reduce uncertainty and add to our and make our revenue look better for 2020.
Well, let's take them one of a time, and then we'll put it all back together. Start with yields. What difference does it make?
So this year, yields, USDA is projecting a 203 bushel per acre yield for corn in Illinois. That is the second highest yield ever. The highest yield happened in 2018, and it was 210. So we raised our corn yield to 230 in our Central Illinois budgets, and that, just to give you a feel, was 237 in 2018. Similarly, soybeans are looking better, and we put our yields at 2020 at 72 bushels per acre for high productivity land in Central Illinois.
So these are based off of the September WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate, and the Crop Production Report. Yields come from the Crop Production Report at USDA NAS. The World Agricultural Outlook Board puts together a forecast, which includes a price forecast. Did you use it?
Yeah, we used their price forecast, and we put in our prices for 2020, and this would be our 2020 production. We used 350 for corn and 930 for soybeans. That happens to be a bit higher than what WASDE used for a national average, but we typically see higher prices in Illinois than the U.S. average. So we're now using $3.55 for corn and $9.30 for soybeans for 2020. That is obviously up considerably from a month ago, and the derecho storm in Iowa, as well as hot, dry weather, contributed to that, as well as a continued strong export demand, particularly to China.
Price times yield gives you income. What difference did those two things make?
So we are looking at $817 of crop revenue. We add to that our CFAP payment and our county payment, and total revenue for corn is $885 for corn, which is down from 2019, but still reasonably good for overall, compared to where we were at, and $707 for soybeans.
Can you detail the ARC/PLC and CFAP payments for me?
ARC payment, we had $20 of ARC PLC for 2020. That will be received next year, next October. There will be getting an ARC payment this year, but that's associated with the 2019 crop. CFAP 2, we put in $48 for corn and $17 for soybeans. The $48 for corn is base, so CFAP 2 will be paid on acres planted in 2020 times your APH yield, and we used a 205 APH yield for corn and a 55 bushel yield for soybeans.
Any concluding thoughts?
Well, incomes look better than they did earlier the year. CFAP payments are important, obviously, but those yields, getting higher yields at the same time as higher prices than we thought we were going to have, is going to make incomes look better this year than we thought in July.
Hey, Gary, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. I hear that things are still smoky where you are.
They are. The western states still seeing a lot of wildfire activity, although things really improved in Washington and Oregon with some rain late last week and over the weekend. California fires are still burning across parts of Arizona and parts of the central Rockies. And you know, some of that smoke and haze is going coast to coast. So a lot of folks in the Corn Belt Midwest probably have noticed some haziness as well.
Yeah, and some really spectacular sunsets, I suppose. I guess that's because of, the light dangling off of particles in the air.
Yeah, that is correct. And it does make for spectacular sunrises and sunsets. After a while, though, folks like to see those better visibilities and that cleaner air return, that's for sure.
Now let's talk about what'll be happening here in the Midwest. It's been cool and clear, relatively speaking, dry as well. Things are beginning to come to a head as it relates to harvest, all the way from the Dakotas to Ohio. What are conditions for the next week going to be?
Well, in the short term, we're going to continue with this pretty quiet weather. Now, as we get on into the Thursday-Friday time frame, we will see a little bit of rain in some of the northern areas. Most importantly, we're going to see parts of Wisconsin, Minnesota, parts of northeastern areas of Illinois, and eastern areas of Iowa get a little rain shower activity. It doesn't look like a lot. The heavier stuff will go north. Then as we get into the weekend and early next week, we do see at least the northern areas of the Corn Belt seeing the best chances for rain, while the central Corn Belt, central southern Indiana, most of central southern Illinois, most of Missouri, parts of Ohio, at least a week from today, really not seeing much in the way of precipitation. Now, there will be some cooler weather coming towards the middle to the end of next week. That may bring a better chance for moisture. But I would say, other than those northern areas I mentioned, harvest conditions are looking good.
So it sounds like things should progress even into the end of the month pretty well. What's the beginning of October look like?
Well, that is interesting because we're seeing some signals in our long-range charts of the amplification of the jet stream, which is just a fancy word, Todd, for some bigger dips coming out of Canada, causing some larger troughs of low pressure that would bring more of a cooler, wet weather pattern for the beginning of October. Trick is it going to be more in the central part of the United States or further west into the Plain States? And that's something we've got a week or so to figure out.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's Tuesday. We always check the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien from K-State Extension now joins us to do that. Thanks, for being with us. I appreciate that. I know you've put some profitability statements together for ethanol plants and that you've looked back at July, August, and September, this month that is. So how did they do?
Well, the trends that have been occurring in ethanol prices, DDGs, and corn has certainly been affecting things. And, probably the first place to look at is corn price as the primary input. For the month of July in Iowa, again, not far from where you're at, well, basically between you, where you and I are at, Todd, average of about 309 for corn. Then in August, still about 310. And then with all that's happened now in the first 3 weeks the last week of August jumped to 321, 334, the week ending the 4th, the 11th, again, September 11th, 343, 9, 18, this last Friday, 354. And when you look at basically prices for ethanol at about $1.33, and DDG prices trending up, say from 137 to about 141 in the last in the month. You end up, although for the average, you've got an average cost of about $1.35 per gallon of ethanol, and a slight loss of about 3 cents a gallon in that last week. Well, the weekend, last week, literally, one ending the 18th. With again $1.33 ethanol, $3.54 corn, $1.41 DDGs, you're losing about 19 cents. So, you know, that's a fair shock. And movements have been happening in the grain markets have certainly received positively by grain producers. But on the ethanol side, it's affecting the profitability of those plants. So we'll see where this takes us as we head off into the latter part of the summer. Harvest just around the corner. You'd expect probably some lower prices once the combines roll and the trucks line up outside the elevators. But at least in the short run here, until that comes, it looks like we're kind of tightening up on profitability.
What's the USDA's ethanol report, especially on the state-by-state breakdowns?
Well, it does show, as we look at corn, I think a real barometer of profitability is what they're paying for corn. And here in Illinois, where you're at, they're paying basically 345 to 375, and here in Kansas where I'm at, about 350 to 375, so not a lot of differential there. On the DDG side, again, Illinois, that's probably where your strength is more so than what we have in Kansas. For a dry 10%, range of 145 to 180 per ton, and Kansas for 115 to 170. But the biggest thing that probably would show that maybe we're, that these numbers I quoted for Iowa might be underestimating your profitability there in Illinois, is for in the Eastern Corn Belt where you're at, ethanol prices $1.41 to $1.44. That's on Friday's weekly report. Where I'm at, $1.37 thereabouts. And Nebraska, 125 to 135, and Minnesota, 133. Again, Iowa, 130 to 135. So, you know, we'd have to crank the numbers, Todd, to see how that extra dime or so of, at least 7 to 10 cents per gallon for ethanol, how much difference that makes on the profitability. Of course, the backside of that, if we're paying about the same corn prices and you've got higher ethanol prices, then assuming the DDG numbers aren't that far out of whack, then you'd probably have higher profitability on your ethanol plants where you're at in Eastern Corn Belt than we are out here in the West.
Any larger trends that you see?
I think you go back, you look at the inventories of ethanol and the demand pull you have at those plants, and that has, again, ethanol is a supply demand driven creature. Tighter supplies, given the RFS that's driving the demand for this so much, if you're tighter on supply with inelastic demand, well, you have to raise prices, and that's probably what's going on.
Hey, thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with Kansas State Extension. Joined us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.